Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Okay, Jerry Dunn. Jerry, good afternoon.
Yeah, Joe.
It's a difficult situation.
There, yeah.
How are you, Jerry? It's your daughter.
It is, yeah.
And where is she?
Sarah Jane. She's in Stewart's Palmerstown.
In Palmerstown.
Care,
okay.
Yeah.
And how long has she been there?
Well, she's been there since she was 16, 17. She's now 38.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when is the last time you seen her, Jerry?
We seen her just before Patrick's Day.
Oh my God!
So yeah.
And what's the plan?
Well, that is the reason why I'm actually on the phone to you, Joe. Yeah. Is that I haven't got a clue. I've just listened to the news there about going away on holidays. They're not making clear of anything, and I thought Sarah Jane was coming home today. You know, because of things
moving
off.
yeah
because we only want her home for 3 nights, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So and that's what it was, so very disappointed, but as I say, I don't know when. Now, Joe, just to make this clear to you, just and to the listeners, Sarah Jane could have came home at any time. Yeah?
Yeah,
but she wouldn't have been able to go back.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Do you understand what I mean? But, and Sarah Jane loves coming home, but she has to go back as well, because they have things that you have to take care of with Sarah Jane, so that wouldn't have been able to.
I understand.
You understand? And but at least that as well, Stewart's are absolutely fantastic to her. We're so pleased with the care and the love that Sarah does get down there, you know.
And Sarah is getting some medical, gets regular medical treatment, does she?
Yeah.
And she gets that through or in Stewart's, whereas if she came home, you've got to sacrifice that. And I see the issue that she has, and you wouldn't sacrifice that because you're right. And can you go and see her in the distance, Jerry, or through a window?
No, Joe. See, that's the problem. Once Sarah Jane sees me, you know, that's me that I'm going home. Do you understand what I mean?
Understand.
And,
of course,
and she'd get so upset and confused, and she'd be going, "What's going on here?" If you understand. So that wouldn't be fair on her, or it wouldn't be fair on me, and I'm not either. You know, but
because you'd get upset as well.
Oh, of course, yes.
So do you? Why are you saying you'd like her to come home for a few days but be able to go back?
Yes, of course.
And that's not you've no clarity on that at the moment.
No, none.
Yeah.
And being up front with you, Joe, we need Sarah probably more than she does need us, if you can understand where I'm coming from on that one, you know what I mean?
What do you mean, Jerry?
Well, we need Sarah. She's the love of our lives. And keeps me going.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know.
And what is Sarah's difference, Jerry?
Well, she's handicapped with autistic tendencies.
Okay.
And she has no communication in speech wise.
Okay.
No, believe me, she tells me what she wants. She has me wrapped, you know what I mean?
Oh, great, yeah.
Like all daughters, has me wrapped around her finger. And that's what the problem is. It's probably down to me, because I wasn't never firm enough. What I'm saying is, Sarah Jane comes home and she is boss.
She
is queen of the castle. That's it. She does what she wants. She won't do a thing that I ask her to do. She's a bit better with her mum, okay? But with me, no. She won't do anything with it. She'll only eat junk food when she's at home. You know, things like that, you know? So, you know, she's just queen of the castle, and that's the end of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're not. Don't be hard on yourself. You're doing your absolute
best. No, I'm not.
You love her, and she loves you, obviously.
Well, we hope so.
She does, yeah.
Correct, yeah.
Have you other children, Jerry?
Well, I haven't aged yet, but they have their own kids. And,
You know
what I mean? So
you haven't seen her since before St. Patrick's Day. And is
there
any...
Right, yeah.
Is FaceTime or Zoom or Skype or WhatsApp?
No, you see, this is what I'm saying. Sarah Jane cannot see me. There was one time, Joe, if I have time to say it, is I was actually going down the road, going back a good few years ago, driving down the road, and Sarah was out with one of our
carers.
And the minute she seen me, that was it. Had to stop, had to pull in, take her home, and off for the 3 days.
That's brilliant. That's very, very touching image now. She accidentally sees her dad. Driving. Were you driving a car or a van?
I was just a car.
She waves at you, did she? And then
no, she goes and bizarre step pulling out with a car and trying to run. See, that's the problem. She would have ran across the road.
Okay, so
she, you know what I mean?
She has your wrapped all right, as you say.
You better believe that one.
Okay, and she's 37.
She's 37 now. She'll be 38 in October. Now she only looks about. She's getting looking a bit old now. She looks about 21 now, you know.
Okay.
She's looking a bit, because she doesn't have any boyfriend problems or bill problems or when are we going to pay the gas, you know, that kind of way. So she's having a good life where said is now at the minute.
And as you say, she's what you want to know is when can you go back to normal? Has there been any COVID outbreak in Stewart's, you know, in Parmesan?
Now, Sarah Jane has been tested.
Okay.
Her actually bungalow where she is, it is free.
Great.
There has been no there has been no cases. Myself and the wife have been fairly good.
Right.
You know, I like it an old point, and they go down to your old towns for an old point, but I won't even go out for one now, even though they're open. Because I'm not going to do anything to affect, you know what I mean? I'm going to keep well, you know what I mean?
And where's your local?
My local's down in Ballyferma there.
What, Downies?
That's okay to say it, is it?
Yeah, of course it is.
I actually didn't know. I thought there was these rules, you know.
Downies and Ballyferma there. I remember closed for about a month once and about 500 men were made homeless. My own father. It's a very popular spot, isn't it?
It has been for years.
It's a very friendly spot. And that's the reason why you won't go near your local, because you just want to be doubly sure.
Fair play to you. 100%.
And Jerry, what you're looking for is clarity. And Stewart say they have to wait on Neffet or whatever to.
Well, you see, they don't even. Now, I have to say, and being again, repeat myself, Anne, if it's okay to say your name, man, Anne down there, who's in charge of the bungalow, she is fantastic and she's doing her best. For us as well, and it's just, you just can't get, you know, okay, it's this date, it's that date. I genuinely thought I would have a home Monday the 29th. I honestly did, and as I say, I didn't go anywhere, you know what I mean? I wasn't in any big groups of people or anything like that. We're keeping as good as we possibly can. And if you had some way, a quick test or something, you know, to say that we are okay. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Of course I do.
Go ahead, Jerry, you take Sarah Jane home. And
Jerry,
is
this the longest spell you've gone without seeing her?
Yes.
Yeah, of course it is,
No. Yes, there is. No, because I just want to make sure I'm not telling any parkies. You know what I mean? This would definitely be
three and a half months,
longest.
Okay, and she was home. Was she home previous to St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was home for you take her out every, you know, the thing could be 3 weeks, it could be 2 weeks, it could be every week. It depends on the, see, that is the beauty of a show. It's Sarah Jane's bed. Okay. Right, and she would say to us, "That's her bed for life," and mm-hmm. that was one of the things that we were thinking of when this came about, because it's not easy to give up your daughter in a sense, if you know what I mean. But we were thinking, as poor people now are going through, they're at home with people who are like Sarah Jane, and if that happens to them, where are they going to go?
Yeah.
You understand? And that was one of the reasons why we said, yeah, okay, we'll do this. So, as I say again, and plus, if you don't mind me going on a little bit, which I always make short stories very long.
But no worries.
The poor people who are at home with their kids who have no daycare, and you have no respite. So it's a kind of catch 22.
It is, yeah.
I'm in one position where I can't see my daughter, and there's other people who I can't get rid of them for a couple of hours. Do you know what I mean? You know where I'm coming from.
Of course I do.
So that's the situation.
And it's very well put. And
thank you very much.
Very well put. And you're obviously yourself. And what's your wife's name, Anne?
Kim. Anne is the girl in charge of
bungalow. Yeah, Kim. Okay.
And Kim is the wife, yeah.
But I hope things settle. Yeah. I hope you get some clarity very, very soon, Gerry. I really do. Yeah. I really do. And by the way, you deserve that pint down in Downies. You really do. A lovely, creamy pint.
Stop, will you, man?
Okay, Gerry, kind regards. And as I say, well put. And people will, I think, empathise with your situation. And all our love to Sarah Jane as well.
Thank you very much.
Though I suspect she gets so much love from her mum and her dad that there's not much room for much more. She's so loved.
Well, and that is true. So I'd just like to say to you, Joe, thank you very much for taking this call. And you keep safe, and you keep saying.
And thanks.
You keep saying.
I'll keep one of them. Probably safer, rather than saner.
Yeah. But
thanks for making the call, Gerry. And come back on to us if you think we can do anything else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you again so much for your help today.
Mind yourself, Gerry. That's Gerry Dunn talking about his daughter, Sarah Jane. 51551, my chance.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Paddy Halpin. Paddy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
You've contacted us. Tell us why.
Well, I suffered from anxiety and depression for the last 40 years.
Okay.
I just wanted to let people know how I coped so well during the lockdown.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I had a lot of stuff in the shed.
Right.
Paint.
Okay.
And I started painting the walls.
Good man.
And what else? I dug up the garden because the clay was so hard.
Okay.
And I bought new soil from Jones's and put it down. And the flowers are growing much better and they're easier to plant.
Good stuff.
And
Did you do much painting?
I did paint the front walls.
And
I had that masonry paint.
Oh, yeah.
So I just went out to the shed and see what I could get to do. And I built four raised vegetable beds.
Oh, lovely.
So, and the vegetables are coming on great.
And what? So you managed during the lockdown, and
it
actually helped.
It did help an awful lot.
In what? It helped calm your depression, calm your anxiety.
Yeah.
And why? Can you give us an insight into that, Paddy? Was it because you knew everyone was in the same boat?
Well,
life slowed down.
Yeah, I knew everybody was in the same boat, especially those who are just suffering from anxiety and depression, you know. And I wanted to give them advice on what to do and where to look for things to do and, you know, things like that, you know.
Yeah. And, you've suffered for 40 years, Paddy.
Yes.
So you were young when it came on, were you?
I was younger than 60.
Yeah, I know, but you were very... If it was 40 years ago, you were in your
20s. Yes,
And has anything helped you before, Paddy, cope with your anxiety?
I was attending a psychiatrist. in a clinic.
Okay.
Which I can't mention.
That's
the name.
Fine. Yeah, no. That's,
and but, and they done they done wonders for me.
Great, great.
You know, it is. You know, they really did look after me. You know.
Well done. And who's in the house with you, Paddy?
Just my wife, Mary.
Okay. And how did she find the lockdown?
Yeah, she found it grand. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And could you have any visitors?
Well, our daughter did the shopping for us every week.
Okay.
And she used to drop it down and leave it at the door. And
wow.
So that was great. You know, it saves a lot of going out, you know.
Yeah. And but I'll come in another way now, Paddy. What did you miss most during the lockdown?
Well, I didn't miss very much now because going out and going into stores and doing a bit of shopping and, you know, I don't drink, so I don't go to the pubs.
Okay.
So I didn't miss that.
Right.
I cut down on the cigarettes while
good man.
All this work.
And that's tough. That's tough during a lockdown. Well done. Well done.
Yeah. So lately I lost 2 stone in weight.
Good lad. I hope that's good for you.
Well, I'm trying to build it up again.
Oh, are you okay? Well,
down
then
to 11 stone.
Okay,
you know?
Well, that's, yes. Okay.
So I went for blood tests and the blood tests are all right. So I have to go back for a weight check now at the end of the month.
Okay.
So.
And Paddy, are you a bit, how are you now that the lockdown is very slowly coming to an end?
Well, I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely brilliant.
Okay. And your wife, how did your wife manage with you during the lockdown? Do you follow me?
Yeah, well, she managed all right, yeah.
Well, I'm sure she was happy to see you doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
She kept herself busy in the house then as well, you know.
And Paddy, in the last, I know you've suffered for 40 years, which is really, really tough on you. Did you have a job?
Oh, I did, yeah, but I had to give it up.
That in, did you? What were you working at?
Structural steel.
Oh, wow.
Fabrication and erection.
Oh, well done. Oh, that's no messing. That's a serious job.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Uh-huh, you used to have to study the drawings and get the...
Oh, well done.
To do the groundwork.
Wow.
So,
Well, you're doing a lot of groundwork during the lockdown with planting and painting and flower beds and vegetables.
Yeah.
Okay, Paddy, it's great to hear from you. And I hope everything stays steady from now on.
Okay, that's
please,
great.
Please, God,
well,
yeah.
Well,
thanks.
I hope anybody that is suffering now from anxiety or depression can take advice from me that they should try and get themselves busy and do something.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
It's the best medicine, isn't
it? The best method, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I know there's lots of medicines that are helpful as well for anxiety and depression. But anyway, Paddy, you're a tonic, Paddy, listening to you there. Now, well done. And
thanks very much.
And thanks for contacting us. And regards, what's your wife's first name?
Mary.
And regards to Mary. Paddy and Mary. Okay, thanks, Paddy.
Okay, thanks for having me on.
And thanks for contacting us.
Okay, Joe, thank you.
Thank you. That's a wonderful Paddy help. Arla Smith, Arla, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Good. Yeah, back to this issue. I'm grand, thanks. And thanks for asking, Arla. I hope you are. But your issue again is visiting our loved ones in hospitals.
Yes.
What is your situation?
Well, I was listening to Paddy there, and that was a very heartening story. But unfortunately, my dad didn't have such a good experience, and the lockdown was very, very difficult for him. You know, he's in his 80s, mm-hmm. 82. He's very sociable, meets his friends, you know, every evening in the pub. He plays golf. He goes to the choir, he's an avid gardener, so very busy and very engaged.
Right, and
everything, just the rug was pulled out from under him, and he was left with nothing basically at home. And even from the point of view of the garden and painting, the garden centres were closed and the hardware stores were closed. So even that, he was, he was at a loss. And he kind of kicked and screamed through the whole thing and got himself, very, very stressed out, I think. So much so that 2 weeks ago he had a stroke.
Right.
And my brother found him on the cold floor. At about 11 o'clock in the morning. He'd broken the table falling, so he kind of went down hard, I'd say, and we don't know how long he was there.
Okay.
So it was very upsetting. He was, I don't know, confused and, I don't know, in pain and shock and whatever. And so the ambulance came really, really quickly. They were fantastic. And they took him into CUH. And we haven't seen him since.
Oh, no.
And
can you speak to him?
Well, he can't really speak.
Well, of course.
You know, because he had a stroke. So his speech has been severely impaired. His left side is all paralyzed. So he's, you know, it's a very traumatic situation for him. And there is no familiar face there to kind of hold his hand or to give him any kind of comfort or even kind of orientation. So it's, and the only thing, I mean, I do call him and I blabber on about whatever comes to mind. Yeah. The only thing that I can make out from him is, and
Your line is gone. Say that again, Orla. Sorry,
the only thing I can make out, you know, when he's talking is when he says "min."
Okay, just hang on a sec there, Orla. I'll take the break and we'll improve the line.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Orla's father, John, had a severe stroke 2 weeks ago. He's in Cork University Hospital, but unfortunately, one, he can't speak, and two, because of the restrictions in the pandemic, no one has been in to see him. Is there any way round this, Orla, or that is the rule at the minute, no visitors, full stop?
Well, it seems to be. That's what I was told. There's no way around it. We're coming up against a brick wall. There's just no visiting. And that's why I'm on to you, Joe, really, because I can't understand how we can be so lacking in compassion and, you know, our responsibility is to care and take care of our most vulnerable. And we're falling short. We're failing them. This is just cruel. And I can't believe or understand that there is no way that visiting can be accommodated, maybe on a case-by-case basis, in a very limited way, but something. I mean, the restaurants, pubs, hotels, flights, foreign holidays, it's all opening up. The economy is all important, and this isn't even being addressed. No one is talking about it. And it's. I think it's disgraceful. I think it's disgusting. And I'm really about it. And I feel I'm being forced into complicity. And I told my dad, and I hope he's listening, that I would do everything I can to get in.
Yeah. And you don't think there's even a conversation going on about it. That's your point as well, Orla.
That is my point. And that's really, I suppose, my main reason for calling you is just to...
No, the phone line is gone. Okay, Arla, I take your point. All at once, and I read at the end of her email, has anyone actually weighed up the cost of these ongoing restrictions in terms of lives lost through lack of screening, doctors' visits, neglect, the depression, suicide and loneliness? I believe they far outweigh the toll the virus has taken on us, and I'm not underplaying the threat the virus poses to our communities. It's a question of priorities. As Orla said, she believes as a society we should be ashamed of what we have allowed to happen, or at the very least a conversation should be had. But that's hopefully that conversation has started, Orla.